Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Parashat Ekev, in which Moshe Rabbeinu continues to admonish, instruct, and inspire his beloved people in the short time remaining before his death. This week, focusing especially on the related themes of the special qualities of the land of Israel and reward and punishment. Moshe opens this speech with a description of the great reward that will follow on the heels of our observance of the mitzvot. V'haya ekev tishme'un. The word ekev means heel, as in the name Yaakov, who was called that because he was born holding on to Esav's heel. Rashi interprets midrashically, explaining that Moshe is advising us that great reward will follow if we are careful to observe even those mitzvot with which one usually tramples with his heel, meaning those we may be tempted to consider inconsequential or easy mitzvot. Chazal teach us in Pirkei Avot, chapter 2, Mishnah 1, one should be as careful to fulfill the easy mitzvot as the difficult ones, for we do not know the reward for any given mitzvah. Many Olim relate that one of the first expressions they learned when they arrived in Israel is Hakol Yechasit, everything is relative. What may be easy for one person may be difficult for another. If this comparison is true of human beings toward one another, how much more so in relation to human beings and Hashem? What we may consider easy or difficult from our perspective may be viewed very differently from a divine perspective. Therefore, it behooves us to be equally fastidious about the performance of all mitzvot without qualification. Moshe explains that this adherence to God's word will be amply rewarded. We will be blessed with fertility both in our families and in the product of our efforts. We will not suffer illness and will not have cause to fear our enemies. Moshe goes on to remind us of the unique relationship with God that we were privileged to enjoy in the desert. The total reliance on Hashem for sustenance, which was miraculously provided in the form of the man. And in the fact that throughout 40 years sojourn in the Midbar, our clothing never got soiled, worn out, or too small, nor did our feet swell from walking in the hot sand for hours at a time. While these events were miraculous and testify to the special attention from God that we merited to enjoy, there is an inherent challenge here as well, either in that we lived with constant uncertainty, as explained by the Ramban, or in that we were so well cared for that we may have forgotten that it was in fact Hashem who was taking care of us. We may have become complacent in our good fortune, a concern that remains relevant even today. Moshe reminds us that our relationship with Hashem is akin to that of a parent and child. Just as a parent has expectations of a child, sets certain boundaries that are intended for the child's welfare and development that may appear restrictive to the child, harsh, in fact, but are really grounded in the parent's love for the child and desire to guide his or her growth, so too the apparent difficulties Hashem sends our way. If we keep the mitzvot, we will merit to inherit the land, which Moshe Rabbeinu describes in glowing terms, a land of streams of water, springs, and depths that emerge in valleys and mountains, a land blessed with abundant produce. And here, Moshe lists the seven species with which the land of Israel is especially blessed: wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, oil-producing olives, and dates. A land in which we will eat bread without exertion, in which we will lack nothing, whose stones and mountains are rich with minerals and resources. Such bounty demands gratitude on our part. Hence the mitzvah, introduced in the words, Ve'achalta, ve'savata, uve'rachta et Hashem Elokecha, you shall eat, be satisfied, and bless the Lord your God. To this biblical commandment, the rabbis added a rabbinic one, that not only should we bless God after we eat, but before we eat as well. For if we are to thank Hashem for the food once we are satiated, how much more so must we express our gratitude when we're hungry and food is set before us? The sages deemed it improper to benefit from the world without first acknowledging God as creator and benefactor. The Sefer HaChinuch points out that when we say the words Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, we're not making a request, may God be blessed. God is not in need of blessing from us. Rather, the bracha is intended to arouse and sensitize us to the fact that all we have is from Hashem, the source of all blessing. Having described the land in such glowing terms, Moshe pauses to acknowledge the risk inherent in being blessed with such bounty. Prosperity leads to complacency, as we suggested earlier, and in our affluence and comfort, we may forget that our success is completely dependent upon Hashem, that the man we ate in the Midbar was the paradigm for our reliance upon Hashem for our daily bread, even in circumstances when the direct link is not as obvious. When we work the fields and they yield their produce, we may mistakenly begin to believe that kochi va'otzem yadi asali et hachayil hazeh. It's my own strength and the power of my hand that has produced this wealth for me. It's important to remember that this warning of Moshe Rabbeinu applies not only literally to the produce of the land, but to all success that we experience in the material realm. In fact, if this dynamic can be true of the farmer, who even while relying on his best efforts to cultivate his crops is still dependent on elements out of his control, such as the appropriate amounts of sun and rain at the right times, how much more so would it apply to one sitting in an office manipulating numbers and facilitating deals, or in a laboratory achieving results through experimentation? How easy to forget that our success, our prosperity, is due only to Hashem's blessing and not to our own endeavors. As we are about to enter the land and experience this new reality of working for a living, Moshe enjoins us to remember that, in fact, it is Hashem who empowers us to succeed, not because we ourselves are so wonderful, but in order to fulfill his covenant with our forefathers. Lest we object and say, Moshe, how could we possibly forget that everything comes from Hashem? Of course we'll remember. Moshe reminds us of the sin of the golden calf. Just 40 days after standing on Mount Sinai and receiving the Torah from God himself, we backslid into the abyss of idol worship. And even after Moshe fasted and prayed on our behalf and succeeded in obtaining God's forgiveness, we continued to sin and to challenge him at Tav'era and Masa and Kivrot HaTa'ava, and further with the sin of the spies sent from Kadesh Barnea. Resuming the narrative of the golden calf, Moshe recalls his prayer on behalf of the Jewish people. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal explains that Moshe offered two rationales for God's forgiveness. One, Al tashchet amcha asher padita begodlecha, asher hotzeta mimitzrayim biyad chazaka. Do not destroy your nation, whom you have redeemed in your greatness and taken out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And two, Zechor la'avadecha, le'Avraham, le'Yitzchak u'le'Yaakov. Remember your servants, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The first reason implies that Yisrael merited salvation after the Chet HaEgel, not for their own sake, but so that the process that was begun with the exodus from Egypt might be completed, so that the punishment of the Egyptians who oppressed us out of pure evil be complete and justice restored to the world. The second reason invokes the merit of our forefathers, whose spiritual DNA we inherited, and therefore Moshe asks Hashem to forgive us, for even though we ourselves may at this moment be undeserving, the spiritual potential contained within us is too great to waste. Hashem instructed Moshe to fabricate a new set of luchot, the stone tablets of the law, to replace the ones he had broken upon witnessing the sin of the golden calf. This second set of luchot signifies the reinstatement of the covenant. Having placed the new luchot in the ark which had been prepared to contain them, the people continued their journey through the desert. In Perek Yud, Psukim Yud Bet and Yud Gimel, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, Moshe famously summarizes the mission statement of the Jewish people. Ve'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokecha sho'el mi'imach, ki im liyir'ai et Hashem Elokecha, lalechet b'chol drachav ule'ahava oto, v'la'avod et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha. And now, Yisrael, what does the Lord your God ask of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him with all your heart and with all your soul. Lishmor et mitzvot Hashem ve'et chukotav, asher anochi metzavcha hayom letov lach, to keep the commandments of God and the statutes which I command you this day for your good. Moshe reminds us again of the great miracles Hashem performed for our sake in Mitzrayim and in the desert. He focuses specifically on God's miraculous punishment of the Egyptians who had oppressed us and of Datan and Aviram who were swallowed by the earth after challenging Moshe's leadership and his role as God's messenger. He returns briefly to the theme of Eretz Yisrael, again lauding its unique qualities. Here, Moshe highlights the fact that Eretz Yisrael, unlike Egypt, whose fertile land is irrigated by its natural resources, is completely dependent on Hashem for rain. He describes the land of Israel as Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doreshota, Tamid Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, Mereishit Hashana Ve'ad Acharit Shana. It is a land that the Lord your God watches over. The eyes of Hashem your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal beautifully explains that just as there is physical climate, so too there is a spiritual climate. Just as one who goes out in the rain expects to get wet, so too one who lives in Eretz Yisrael must feel and absorb the Ruach HaKodesh. The places in which the prophets communed with Hashem are so saturated with holiness that even today, one who opens himself up to it will feel the presence of the Shekhinah. Moshe now returns to the theme of fundamental observance and its consequences with another familiar text, which we will recognize as the second parashia of our daily Kriyat Shema. The Perak of Vihayayim Shamoa details the timely rainfall and bounty of the land that we will receive as our reward if we observe the mitzvot, and the withholding of the rain and produce that will precede the exile, that will be our final punishment if we do not observe them. The enduring presence of Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael is inextricably tied to our observance of the precepts of the Torah. Nevertheless, following the warning of exile and diaspora, should we not keep the mitzvot, Moshe reminds us of the mitzvot of tefillin, teaching Torah to our children, and affixing mezuzot to our doorposts as a reminder that we must bind ourselves to Torah and mitzvot even when we are outside of the promised land, even in galut, ever mindful of the hope that we will ultimately return to the land and merit to remain there forever in a renewed relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we will once again be able to optimally fulfill all of the mitzvot. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, we find a discussion among the sages as to the need for both of the first two sections of Kriyat Shema in our daily recitation. The Gemara in Perek Bet Halacha Aleph asks, Ma ben Perek Rishon uben Perek Sheni? What's the difference between the first and second chapters of Kriyat Shema? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Kol Ma Shekatuv Bazeh, Katuv Bazeh. Rabbi Chanina suggests that in effect there really is no difference. They both list the same mitzvot. However, the sages objected to this approach, saying, Me'ata, lo ikare ela echad. If that were true, there would be no obligation to recite both. One perek would suffice. Nevertheless, two were established. Amar Rabbi Ila, harishon layachid v'hasheni latzibur, v'harishon l'talmud v'hasheni l'ma'aseh. Rav Ila highlighted two differences to explain the obligation to recite both chapters. The first is written in the singular form and obligates the individual, whereas the second is written in the plural form and obligates the community. Secondly, the first passage is intended for study, whereas the second passage is intended for practice. Chazal further teach in Mishnah Brachot, Perek Bet, Mishnah Bet, Chapter 2, Mishnah 2, that the theme of the first chapter is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, accepting upon ourselves the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, meaning belief in the existence, unity, and authority of God as creator of the world, while the second chapter centers on Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot, accepting the yoke of the commandments, recognizing that Hashem continues to be involved with the world, sees our behaviors, and rewards and punishes accordingly. Acceptance of God as king must logically precede our commitment to observe his commandments. Nechama Leibowitz, Zichrona Livracha, explains that our acceptance of God as king is predicated on our love for him, hence the emphasis on love in the first chapter without reference to reward and punishment. Observance of the commandments, however, is predicated on fear of punishment, which explains why this theme is present in the second chapter but not in the first. She explains further that, quote, love of God is a matter for the individual, who strives to attain it through self-perfection, while the acceptance of the yoke of mitzvot and their fulfillment is only conceivable in human society. A man living on a desert island, isolated from human society, might indeed implement the exhortation of you shall love the Lord your God, but could not possibly fulfill if you shall diligently hearken to my commandments, which for the most part relate to the life of man amid society and his bonds with his family, friends, the state, and the human race. For this reason it is stated, and you shall love in the singular, but, and if you shall diligently hearken to my commandment, in the plural. End quote. Thank you for studying together in our community of Torah learners. May our study lead both to increased love of Hashem and help us to optimize our performance of the mitzvot.